Hello and welcome to another episode of the Plus 63 HP Podcast Reviews Edition. I am one of your hosts, John Clemente. Alongside of me are two of my bestest best friends. I'm going to start with the man with the pink headset again, Trebox. How are you doing?
Hello, hello. Excited to talk some Avatar today.
Awesome. Also joining us at a very, very, very early time in this time zone is Arnie. How are you doing, Arnie?
Very early for me, but I'm ready to talk Pandora. I mean, sorry, wrong Avatar. Avatar Last Airbender.
Avatar The Last Bender is our main topic for this.
The
Last Airbender.
Are they going to Vegas? Have a drink.
No,
The Last Bender.
It's a Futurama remake. The Last Airbender season one dropped on Netflix. Let me get the first episode or all the episodes dropped on February 22nd, 2024. So upon our recording, it's just been a couple of days. So far, we've had, you know, generally mixed reviews of the series, but it that can be a good and bad thing. Bit of stats of the show. It has 8 episodes. Each episode is actually very hefty. It's 47 to 63 minutes.
Yeah, I was surprised.
It's based on Brian Kunitzko and Michael Dante DiMartino's Avatar The Last Bender that aired on Nickelodeon. Big controversy is they actually left the production of this live action series in 2021 as the, you know, as the production started due to creative differences. So that is quote unquote a flag. We can discuss the differences between the series and the anime or the animation later, but it's developed for TV by Albert Kim. His TV career notes being a executive producer and a co-showrunner for television series like Sleepy Hollow, which I've never seen.
No.
Pantheon.
Okay.
Nikita, which is Maggie Q.
Leverage.
Good. This one I enjoyed Leverage. It's kind of like a very BC procedural heist kind of thing with a group. It has found its home, Leverage, on IMDb TV, actually. If you watch IMDb with ads, you'll see Leverage there. And Dirt. Okay. And the cast includes Gordon Cormier as Aang, 12 years old, Canadian. Kia Wentio, a mono named singer actress from Canada as well, as Katara. Ian Ousley as Sokka, quasi leader of the water tribe out there. Dallas Liu as Prince Zuko. If you've searched Avatar The Last Airbender on socials and then you went on TikTok, you've probably seen all the memes around Ian Ousley and Kia Wentio with Gordon Cormier as the third wheel in their press tour, which kind of harkens back to the memes where Zuko and Katara kind of had also their anime relationship with Aang as the third wheel. Of course, fan favorite, Paul Sun-Hyung Lee. As Uncle Iroh,
Carson
popular
Teva.
For being in Mandalorian as well.
Kim's Convenience.
Kim's Convenience. Ken Leung, Commander Zhao, ambitious yet arrogant, Luthrous, dishonorable Fire Nation naval officer. And let's round it up with, I think the biggest star in the cast is Fire Lord Ozai, played by Daniel Day-Kim.
Daniel Day-Kim.
So 8 episodes, 47 to 63 minutes. Before we dive into the episode by episode breakdown of the first half of the first season, so we're going to discuss 4 episodes today and then 4 episodes next week so that we can keep our episodes tight. I'll pass it on to Arnie. Non-spoilery, what do
and
you
what's,
think?
What's your background also?
Okay, yeah, okay. I was about to mention.
Go ahead, Arnie.
So I've never watched, well, okay, more accurately, I started watching the anime. I think I was like a few episodes in, and then I ran out of time. I didn't have time to fit in my schedule. So I'm basically, I know the premise, but never, the lore, I'm not
Okay.
as well versed. And in terms of non-spoilery review, I would say it would be easier to mention it like this. One Piece, Avatar, and then Yu
Oh boy.
Yu
Oh, you like it more than
Hakusho.
Yu
Okay.
Yu Hakusho. Okay.
Yeah. In terms of adaptation from the, I mean, story-wise, I mean, we could talk about that, but in terms of production quality, definitely way better.
That's
Okay,
so
let's.
far. Or have you finished
That's
all?
so that's so
You
far,
haven't finished all.
and yeah, let's put it this way, because there was a movie by M. Night Shyamalan.
Shyamalan.
Let's not even talk about that. But at least this live action TV, production quality wise, it's good. I mean, I prefer it over Yu Yu Hakusho's adaptation. For now. For now, as of the four episodes.
Chebox, hit me.
So, me, I also didn't finish it. Somehow when I don't forget what how many years ago what how old I was when I got this, but I missed it when it first came out. Like it didn't hit my I guess I was in that more in
Radar.
the anime stuff than the Nickelodeon. And then when I got to it, I was kind of in the age where I didn't like the kiddie thing too much, and I like the core concept, a lot of the concepts of the animated one, but they just had too many filler eps, you know, especially in season one. I think there's so many these side missions that I could never it could never hold my interest. So but I have seen a lot of spoilers that I've seen on YouTube, like the final fight of the series, not just the season. So I know a little stuff. I know some of the characters. And this one, so four episodes, I haven't watched the last four. I'm a little mixed. It's just like Twitter, because when you see Twitter, some of them are really enjoying it, some of them are really hating it. Like some even say it's worse than the Shyamalan stuff, which is going too far, I
What?
think. But yeah, but that's the discourse
But
online.
clickbait, yeah, of course.
that's
Yeah, of
Twitter.
course. And
Twitter's a garbage pile.
I think, yeah, some of them are nitpicking. It's like they're just picking on everything, like they lost the characters or the morale of the story and stuff like that, which I think is a disservice. But I do enjoy this. So far, I would say I enjoyed Yu Yu Hakusho more. I don't know. I just like the vibe of Yu Yu Hakusho. And there are some things here that grind at me and felt off a little bit. I will discuss that when we go, but I am enjoying it. I will finish it, and I want more, but it's not as great as One Piece for the first four episodes.
One Piece is the gold standard right now.
Yeah, I think so. What did we score
Uh,
One Piece? Yeah, go,
I think
John.
we did ninths or eights. I think we did ninths. So I've seen five episodes. So I just was like doing laundry, and then I done an extra episode and the assignment. And although I do
Content.
understand the mixed reviews, the apprehension of the people on Twitter and TikTok, mostly because there are big things that they. So I think this series is one of those things where the success of the original series, the expectations were just too high. So they were plus riding the wave of One Piece. And then I think people figuring out that the release was each episode of Avatar is at least $20 million. So it is actually the high, and
What?
they
Damn,
haven't
20
been
million?
seeing. Yeah, they haven't been releasing that a lot because of the mixed reviews, but this has a higher budget than, way higher budget than One Piece. One Piece, I think, was anywhere between like 6 to 10 per. So this one is
Ooh.
one of the highest series
I think
in Netflix. So
I
that kind
think
of
One Piece
probably.
kind of looked better in my we'll
Well, One
discuss
Piece
it, but
fit the vibe. It looks for me, One Piece looked cheaper and cartoonier, but that fit that world,
well, for
right?
me, I think One Piece looked more expensive from what I remember.
Yeah,
Or
so
just,
I think
well, I think
there's
they used that money more. You know what I mean? Like, it
they're more
showed more.
efficient. They're more
There,
efficient
it
with
was
the
more
money.
efficient. That's the term.
Yeah, where this one, I mean, I wouldn't say it's cheap budget movie, but I mean a series, but oh, 20 million per episode.
Per episode. Yeah.
Wow. That
So
must
that
be
so
just
it
Daniel
is.
Day-Kim's salary.
Yeah, they have a lot of stars. You have like Danny Pudi, I mean, Uncle
Yeah.
Iroh. You had
Sai, yeah.
Karate Kid, former Japanese Karate Kid. Right? So, but the idea is like there's a lot of effects. They have a lot of locations, but I
Okay,
think
I mean.
that kind of added upon the controversy or the mixed reviews of the actual series. So I think it's one of the series where the expectation clouded the people's judgment a little bit more. Plus, the people that are making these reviews now are adults. Like the people who were super duper fans of Avatar are now like 30,
Yeah.
right? So they are much more opinionated. So for us, like if it were a different series closer to our time and made a remake or a reboot, we'll be a little bit more critical. But I think it just missed our generation. So for me, I've seen the series. The before Korra was coming out on
Legend of
Nickelodeon,
Korra,
maybe what,
yeah.
8 years ago? 9 years ago, I remember I was already in the States. They dropped the Avatar on Netflix, and that's where I put it on the background. I understand the issue. So, yeah, there are certain things that I think are really nice about the series. I enjoyed it. There's some pacing issues that we've seen. I like that they attempt to have one big action scene every episode,
Every episode, yeah.
which is great, but I think that pushed the story weirdly in weird ways. So, in a way, One Piece was the ultimate truncation of a big source material. Like they did such a great way condensing all of his best. And then with Avatar, not only was the condensing of the story not perfect, plus add the layer of there are certain elements that were important in the animation that's not in the series, that kind of just like made people a little bit noisier not watching the series as it should be, because it's not that bad. But people that are saying I've seen
Oh yeah.
those
I was worried.
announced two
Man, I
seasons
was
yet.
worried reading the Twitter. I was really worried, like,
Yeah,
holy shit, we're watching this
I saw on
four
TikTok
episodes.
that you're right. There were like people that I've watched reviews before that saying like, oh, this series is shockingly at par, maybe a little below than the movie, which is totally incomprehensible because just the casting alone, like Aang, delightful.
I like the guy. I like the kid.
Sokka, Katara, delightful.
Yeah.
My future ex-girlfriend, Suki,
Oh,
delightful.
okay. God. It's
Yeah,
not this
so
bad.
hey, Tamlin Tamira, man.
it's not this bad.
My name is
That's
Aang.
the Shyamalan one, right?
And I'm Kai.
My
My
name
name is
is
Aang.
Oh.
And I'm
Oh.
Caillou.
Caillou. Sucks. My name is.
They were saying
My name is Aang.
that kid. Well,
And I'm
it's
the
sad his
Avatar.
story now. He never
I
acted
ran away.
after.
Well,
He was bullied, and
it's the Jake Lloyd issue,
yeah,
right?
just
I
like
mean,
but the problem was he has zero acting experience,
before this.
well, yeah.
and he just got hired. So the idea of that is, I blame the casting director here.
Yeah. Plus M. Night was, I don't know, is this the one that he said that he didn't even know about this property and he just wanted to make something for his kids or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean,
Yeah, I mean M.
doesn't
Night,
matter.
I mean early in his career is good, and then I think the last few stuff that came out from him are good, but this is not one of
Oh yeah.
them.
But yeah, so the series, unfortunately, is not the best. Like, clearly One Piece is way better. It's entertaining, it's fun. I think the CGI is great. I think most of the fight scenes
The
were
nah
very,
the
very
ed
competent.
the editing was the one that killed me for the fight scenes. Too many cuts. It got better in some episodes, not all, but particularly the first fight. The first episode, there was a lot of bad cuts. There were, you know, it's a bad editing when the cuts are distracting you from like where their orientation is, like who's who, where's, especially that fight. The I'll show you example, the one where Zuko saved his uncle in against
Iroh.
the against the Earthbenders. Oh, the clip, the cuts were, that's why I was worried this fight. Look at alone, Zuko's just attacking two guys. How many cuts is this? See, when you're cutting mid kick, it's never a good thing. That's why I was worried, because like you don't need to do.
And I think we've been also been spoiled by Daredevil, like, and Echo,
The
like
Oneers.
the
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was too bad, but yeah, there were, that's what I mentioned. I think it's a function of, oh, every episode needs to have
A fight
an
scene.
action scene. So it might be they couldn't rehearse more,
But
or
sometimes, like,
it
look at
was,
this.
they made a story and then the executive said, like, put a fight scene and everything, but
Plus,
wait.
when was this produced? I mean, was it during COVID
There
or?
was a 2021, so there was a little bit of COVID happening here too,
So
but
it's kind of like with Book of Boba Fett. Like, it was during COVID, so they can't really
Sometimes, like the editing, look
rehearse.
here, this turn. You see Zuko come in with this, with the. Why do you need to cut three times for that move? You know, it's so, that's not effects, that's not, or stunt, it's just editing. But
Well,
yeah,
I mean, I
I was
think
surprised with the effects. Good.
it's
I
still
think
not too bad. I
so,
think
something tells me they shot the same scene multiple angles multiple times and just picked the best ones in the editing, and then it just didn't have the continuity that, yeah. I mean, I get it, I get it.
not as bad as The Boys. Did you see that junk from the stunt crew reacts? Stuntman reacts from what site was that? Our site?
Corridor crew.
Yeah,
Well, we're not
Corridor
discussing
Crew.
the boys right now,
Oh,
but
there
yeah,
were,
for
no, it was
Avatar, it's
before Pa,
still.
before Pa. There's this scene where Maeve was training against, like four guys in a gym. And the cuts are so bad. It's like, but the guy was explaining, it's like, yeah, this, there's, when you shoot a TV show, it's, they're probably like moving at so fast a clip that there's no
That's
time to
the
choreograph. So you
thing
have
too
to
here with
sit with
the
that.
av well, with most seasons, with most action series, the first season is always weird because like this is the first time you're building a team of pre-production behind the camera, in front of the camera stuff. So I'm sure there are going to be marked improvements on post-production in a lot of these. The worry now is they thought that this was going to be a slam dunk. Like the marketing, maybe just a month ago, about Avatar was very, very heavy. Like this, everybody was pointing out loud. Usually, once it drops, you double down. For Netflix, they pulled back. So I think it's still, I'm pretty sure they're gonna have a second season. They put their eggs in a lot of baskets, but also a lot of the big story changes that they've done irk the diehards that are very, very noisy. But if you really, really dive into the changes, it makes sense. So I'm just gonna I'm just going to discuss one before we go episode to episode. One of the biggest changes that they've well there's two that are controversial changes that they've done, but they, you know, in the end, it's like they're just, you know, these noisy Twitter and TikTok people. Thanks. One is they took out the comment thing, right?
So they took
out the storyline that Aang needs to learn all of the skills within a year because the once the comet arrives, the Fire Nation will be stronger and then they can't be stopped anymore, or at least around that time.
That's still there.
No, it's still there, but it's the comet is there, but they took out the 1 year timeline.
Oh, the urgency.
And the reason, the reason for that is if you look, the other reason, and that's why I love researching these shows. That's why the other reason why they pulled back post-launch marketing or promotions for Avatar The Last Airbender, just look at Aang during the series and look at Aang now. Totally different.
Growth spurt.
He doesn't look 12, but he doesn't even look 15. He is big. So one of the reasons that, or one of the things that the showrunners, the current showrunners, changed that story is because they did not want to do directions from Netflix. They didn't want to do another
casting
Stranger Things, where it gets more and more difficult to bring these people in because they also learn you need to give your time to delay things. If post-production, especially as a series with a lot of CGI like this, if it doesn't look good, you need time to let it cook. If the kids grow a little bit older and then they don't look the same way in the first season as the second season, as it will happen because Gordon Cormier is so different now, they want that out. That let them grow. Let the kids grow. They want that option, right?
You don't want Stranger Things. Like they all they're men now, basically.
I think it was between season 3 and season 4, I think, was the one that the showrunners, the writers had a lot of problem making people look like teenagers. 8th, 9th grade. Growth spurt was wild, right? And the other main storyline or main character change that they changed was Sokka not being as sexist anymore. Yeah. Why are you complaining that they're updating the character? One,
they're saying that's part of his growth.
That's the thing. It's like, you could also have other growth, right? I mean, the idea of it's not bad to update a character if they are considered racist or sexist. Or
because the thing is, if they didn't, then in today's snowflake era, the show would have been canceled by the snowflakes.
Yeah, but it would be a different type of controversy that they would be like, you've known that this character has been labeled as sexist for 12 years and you still didn't change it. And that's those are the two things that the original creators of The Last Avatar, The Last Airbender, also took umbrage because it's their baby. They had a reason why, Sokka was sexist, being being given a responsibility as a kid with no instructions. How are you going to... So that's the other thing too. So that pacing issues, there's also a lot of complaints that I see, towards the latter half, so maybe like episode 4 and onwards, when we see the cast grow a little bit, where they keep on saying all of these ruthless characters in the Fire Nation doesn't look ruthless. Like, they should have recast this person or that person. It's like, you're a good actor, you're a good actor.
I mean, it's just like those Star Wars.
There's some quote-unquote
fans.
There's some practicality needed also.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that you move like Zuko's sister. They wanted, they said, I can't see... I forgot her name, but I can't see Zuko's sister as ruthless because she looks 12. Like, that's the point.
Agreed. That's the point. Or maybe they had somebody in mind that they think, this hot chick would be much better. Like, but it's not going to fit the character or something
All in all, I think the casting was great. But again, of course, if this is a property that you grew up with and have a lot of affinity towards, you will nitpick the smallest thing, which is, again, totally fine. But the point is, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad. And if you really feel that way strongly, get into the show business and you do it.
Well,
let's see how hard it is.
It is also first season, so
yeah,
exactly. There will be a lot of series. The growth from the first to second season was like, oh, hey, you get a little bit more money now, or you have assets that you've worked on. Because a lot of this, like, you have to build these
from scratch,
environment from scratch. So that's a lot of resources. Yeah. Then the next few seasons where they can concentrate on, maybe the proper pace, proper cuts on fight scenes, proper acting, right? That's the other thing too. These are kids, so all right.
Yeah.
Let's discuss quickly the first four episodes. I'm just gonna give the very, very top level synopsis and then just butt in on what you guys thought about the episode and notes of each. Again, the first title, the first episode was titled Aang by, Michael Gooey. Essentially, we are introduced to some of the benders, particularly the Air Tribe, and we can see how
I saw a lot of also Twitter people complaining that they didn't need this flashback scene. Well, not
I did.
Because
I did because I never saw the show.
No, because in the show they never showed it also.
Well,
they just talked about
it. I don't know.
But that's what that's just the nitpicking people complaining.
But here's the thing, like with animation, especially back in like 10 years ago, they had like
23
just like,
episodes a season.
Yeah, just like Clone Wars. Clone Wars had like 25, 26 episodes per season. But this is only what, 8? So you don't have all that time to world build, right? So
I always appreciate a good exposition of the character, because I really saw the first episode I really enjoyed. They had a lot of fight scenes here that were pretty badass. You can see a lot of the bending that's cool. But for me, the most important thing about the first episode was the struggle between the struggle of the Council of Elders in the airbending tribe to hasten Aang's training or knowledge that he was going to be the Avatar. So also the other thing, I totally forgot, because my question was like, how did they figure out that this guy is going to be the next Avatar, right? So that's one of the questions. So I like the very, very quick synopsis of, like, every time an avatar dies, it reincarnates to the next person. Tribe. And then this cycle, it's the Air Tribe's turn. So I realized, like, oh, okay. So once Aang dies, it goes to a different kind of thing. So it's like, all right, how does the avatar bender know? But I was like, right, it is about balance. That's why it's a cycle. Okay, we get it. So that's good. But I think it is a good
with your dad.
It's a really good showcase on how you give the friendship aspect of the series a good highlight, because, and then how friends aren't just like age, if we're the same age, we're friends. You can also be friends with older people, which we see on later episodes too, particularly Into the Dark. But Aang being friends with his teacher being like, oh, you're just a kid, you need to be a kid, but we need to give you this responsibility because, again,
this gave me
the Fire Nation.
This gave me Naruto vibes.
Yeah, it's classic remember, hero's journey, right?
No, remember in Naruto, his only friend was Iruka Sensei.
And
it's a good baseline to show the stakes where, hey, Fire Nation is scared of the upcoming Avatar being able to stop their plan, so might as well take advantage while they have the power of the comet, etc. They started taking over all the other tribes, etc., etc. So I think, like, super fun episode.
So I have an issue. It's just that. Why did they clarify? Like, they just want to bring to conquer.
Yep.
They just want to expand. expansion.
It's a little boring on that end, but
I do like that they keep on coming back to it every episode, and then you have the side of Oza and the side of
they tried to expound on it there, but I don't know enough about Ozai to know if that's true. If it's just it's a line, you know. So
but it's good too. It's like, you know, that's how empires are done. It's like you just conquer for power, and then in your head you think you're unifying them for peace, right?
Kingdom.
Okay, I think that was a really cool. That's a really cool way of showing it. Then we see the Fire Nation attack the Air Nation. Aang barely escapes. Aang gets trapped. So this is the other thing that
Aang didn't escape. He went out to catch a breath, or to clear his mind, or clear his head.
Because he was told that he was going to be Avatar, and that's the reason why people are afraid of him. It's because he was so natural in terms of the powers that he kept hurting other people. But so one thing that I didn't understand, like, how did he get? Was it a special thing that he got trapped under ice for 100 years?
What do you mean a special thing?
Or was it an accident?
He was just flying, and then he was flying with the storm, and then he fell in the water, and then his emergency avatar stake saved him.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I'm saying.
The only way he knew how was to freeze him. Because I think if the avatar state brought him out, there was still no escape. He was still in the middle of the ocean. So it's like the best way was to trap him there.
I was just saying, like, was it, you know, external, or so it's kind of like both internal for him, that because the avatars do live in him to kind of like preserve him for the time being. So we also cut to 100 years later, Water Tribe, Katara discreetly practicing airbending, but Sokka wanting
waterbending.
You don't want anybody to bend in his tribe so that the Fire Nation won't attack them, keep them safe. And then, you know, by some happenstance, they find Aang, save him, introduce him back to the tribe as the airbender. Again, coincidentally, we find that Zuko has been exiled to search for the Avatar, seemingly a futile exercise, but, you know, by some sheer luck, found the actual real Avatar in the Water Tribe. And then, that was...
just my small nitpick here on the writing. There was a scene with the grandmother where, like, he's not just he's not just a boy.
He's an airbender.
I was gonna say, I was expecting he's the Avatar. No, he's the last airbender. And then a few minutes later, oh, you're not just the last airbender, you're the Avatar. We could have used one scene on that moment.
Or they could have just like, he's not only just a boy, he's like, he's the Avatar, the last airbender. Credits.
So that the Fire Nation attacks the South Pole homestead of Katara and Sokka. They fight him off. They realize that Aang needs, you know, Zuko will continuously hunt Aang, and so he's the one that is dangerous. So he needs to start figuring out what he needs to do to train and become the Avatar and put balance in the world. So the first episode also is quite hefty, because this is where you kind of understand, like, oh, in the past 100 years, a lot has happened. Fire Nation has dominated their world. And
but surprisingly, they haven't conquered a lot, actually. They only killed the Air Nation. The Water Nation's Northern Tribe is still alive. The Earthbender is still fighting.
But they've
become the power. But
they've become the power. And all the most important thing to note is everybody that is bending or everybody with any other power have secluded themselves. And so in episode one, they kind of made it a point that, you know, all of the other, you know, everybody trains, everybody helps out each other, et cetera, et cetera. But towards the end of the episode, we've seen that, you know, everybody's separate. Everybody has no more hope. They just want to hide. All right. So that's, you know, everybody's just not seeing the world anymore, which, you know, is the main reason why when Aang left, Sokka, Katara, forces her way to join and help out. And then Sokka, as her brother, joins them. You know, they have a giant flying cow and a flying lemur to help them. And then they've, you know, go on to adventures. And their first stop will be, of course, they want to learn more about all the avatars. The most fierce avatar warrior that they know of is Avatar Kyoshi.
So for me, Sokka, from the trailer, Sokka was the weakest actor. And I think he still is, but he did win me over in the first episode, surprisingly. Yeah. Like, he was...
I think he was okay.
I was expecting worse from him because of how he was looking in the trailers. The way they did it the first episode, he kind of won me over. There's still some... close-ups that didn't work for me because obviously they were hiding CGI and stuff, but like that's what One Piece was doing also, but they did it in a goofy way that for me made sense for that world. For here it doesn't, but yeah, aside from that, a lot of cool shots in the first episode. The way Aang was standing once he broke the ice ball was a good shot, and Appa's pretty good visually.
Appa's great. Even the flying lemur is great. So
That's
most of the bending are great too. But I think
it's just weird with the fire. Sometimes they have to do these authentic move or not authentic, like specific moves to create fire, and then sometimes like especially the emperor even just went like that in one episode and they burned everybody in front of him, like. Like the rules are kind of skewed in a little bit.
I think it's because it depends on how much power you have. Right? Yeah. So actually, like,
one thing I didn't like. Well, I'm moving forward in episode, but like, when Jet was fighting with the swords, you can't cut fire like that. Like, if you block fire with the blade, it's just gonna go through and hit you. Like. It's not solid, it like, you know what I mean?
Special blade. But ending episode one is they get to Aang's original home, sees that everybody's dead, so his former master Gyotsa. Which is great. Lots of cool flashbacks of showing how, again, he was powerful. He was dangerous. Like, even if he seems like a fun and jolly guy, he had a tough time because he was a little too powerful and nobody wanted to train with him. So Gyatso was the only one who traded him. And now he saw Gyatso dead. Everybody dead in Central. So he got crazy. He went Hulk. And actually blew Sokka and Katara off the mountain. But they survived. And that's when he realized, like, okay, he really needs to get his power in check. And then that's where they start off to the second episode entitled Warriors, where they wanted to go through to at least learn from the other avatars' notes. And then again, the most elite warrior that they know is Avatar Kyoshi. So they needed to go to Avatar Kyoshi's secluded island, right? To learn more about being an avatar. Again, in episode two, Aang, Katara, Sokka arrive in a small island with elite warriors after Avatar Kyoshi, where we see my future ex-girlfriend, Suki.
I was like, Katara's kind of cute. And then I saw Suki. No, never mind.
I mean, I think Katara's acting was a little weak. She's great in everything except for when she needs to be somber. It doesn't I didn't believe it. It looked like amateurs for me. But again, they're kids, so it's fine. The fun thing about getting to the Avatar Kyoshi's place is like they were initially turned away because this island survived because they have actually secluded themselves. But with the pleading of Suki and the urging of, hey, how can we help the Avatar? How can we put balance to the force if we just not help anybody? And that would have been something that Avatar Kyoshi would have been sad about. Like, Avatar Kyoshi was known for helping and protecting everyone and others. So they were given 48 hours to learn everything about Avatar Kyoshi. It was weird that all of the books that they've read, there was nothing about being an avatar. It's all about stories of Avatar Kyoshi being like a humble person.
So which nation is this group of women? They're not airbenders, so are they what, water benders? Or
I think this one was fire.
But they're also Fire Nation.
I'm not sure. Let me double check.
Earth
Kingdom.
They're Earth Kingdom. Okay, that makes sense.
But they're not. Doesn't mean they're Earthbenders. They're part of the Earth Kingdom.
Yeah, because remember the rotation, right? Like, the last Avatar was from Earth, and now it's gonna be air. So because I got a little bit confused about that too.
Me too, because she was just a warrior, and a lot of the things that they were saying in the episode was when you're a bender, because they're not a bender, like the Avatar Kyoshi's warriors, because they're not benders, they need to be even more diligent with their training. So a lot of this is setting up Sokka and Suki about, this is like apart from episode one, my pet peeve was, I hate it when you are in the air flying and the hair doesn't move a lot. It's only during minimal hair movement. Mm-hmm. That's one. Mm-hmm. I always hate that no matter what. I know it's because hair and makeup is going to die if you blow super hard air.
It's not even that. It's like even Azula, when she removed her hair.
Yeah.
And then it looked, the camera panned to the other guy. When it went back to her, it was already fixed.
Yep, I remember, and that's episode 4. And I understand what they're trying to do, because like you want everything to be perfect, right? And then you put anything on your head. But again, pet peeve. And then, so my second pet peeve in second episode is like within a span of under 24 hours, Sokka and Suki became like lovey-dovey with each other, of course. But I understand, because Suki has never seen an outsider.
It was a little well done. Right? I kind of saw that she's the type that goes for what she wants. So.
Yeah, but also the idea that it also supports the idea that they've never seen any outsider, right?
And so, would you deny
boy
her
on consent,
that?
Right? That is also supposed to be a warrior guardian, right? So that was one. But the good thing about episode 2, The Warriors, is as we see Sokka and Suki connect in terms of both being responsible guardians to other people, like that's a nice touch, like, with their training together, showing each other off, they realize like, oh, this is not how you, this, on Suki's end, being a fierce warrior is not only the way that you can guard, because you can guard by going out and learning and helping other people. And then for Sokka too, he realized like, oh, I am so incapable of a lot of hand-to-hand combat. I'm not the greatest warrior, because look at all these great warriors before. I need to get my shit together. So that was good. Mm-hmm. The thing that they learned the most with researching, or at least Aang and Katara learning more about Avatar Kyoshi, was like, yeah, there's no records of how she became the Avatar or how to become a good Avatar. A lot of the stories was about Avatar Kyoshi being an orphan, having being rescued, it's coming from humble beginnings, and then becoming the Avatar. So that was surprising. So the idea of this, I think, was, hey, no matter where you start, like, you can still be this powerful, right? So that was another thing. Of course, Zuko catches up to them. There's a lot of, let me just preface that, like, a lot of the advice that Uncle Roshi says to Zuko comes in a form of very, very loving and tender. So every time Zuko says something, there's always like advice of the super cool. I've always like in the cartoon and here, super cool the way that he guides and leads Zuko about their mission.
This actor is the most perfectly cast. What's the most perfect casting? I mean,
yeah,
super great. And the idea of it is like they know that they're doing things that are hurting other nations, right? But they also have their reasons to do it too. And then what Uncle Roshi is doing is like, you have to do it correctly in the right way, but figure it out. I'm not going to do it for you. I'm just going to give you a little advice here and there. So it's great. So they attack the island. The warriors protect them. There were, of course, the warriors being a little lesser than Zuko's troops. They were overrun. But once Aang visits Avatar Kyoshi's temple and goes into a trance and gets in touch with Avatar Kyoshi inside his brain and his heart, Aang got the lesson on how to protect others, right? That it is a lot of sacrifice, that there's always going to be somebody hurt, but if you don't do anything, even more people are going to get hurt. So this is kind of, I think, the first, like, usually when you watch these kids series and somebody's telling you to do XYZ, those will say like, don't hurt anybody, love everyone. But no, Avatar Kyoshi is like, you need to be a warrior. A warrior means that you have to stop people, and then you have to, you know, sometimes you have to go to the defensive. So Avatar Kyoshi actually possesses Aang, wipes out the entire Fire Nation troop that was there, and then kind of like saves the day. Love also, I had the question in my head, so, oh, if you can do that, can you just like do it with the others? Like, oh no, I can only call upon a previous avatar once in their temple. Every time.
In their temple.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, okay, cool. So good, because I forgot that from the series, even if I don't even know if I saw that, but that was good. And then they kind of figure out that, all right, this is the way that they need to keep on going, is keep on learning and keep on figuring out how to train now that Aang knows that the avatars are within him. He just needs to figure out how to tap onto them. So they were supposed to go to the next stop, which is the Water Northern Tribe, but they got distracted by
On the way.
Device.
They're on their way.
Right? Mm-hmm. On their way to the Northern Water Tribe.
He thought he saw another airbender.
In fact, it was just a son of a machinist using a glider in a town called Umashu, part of the Earth Kingdom that has been very, very, very tight and enclosed. They have big, large borders and also a lot of symbolism around, you know, how to survive and how to discriminate, how to protect your tribe by, you know, you don't bring people in, but, you know, that's that. The other way is like, at least you're safe. So you're not helping other worlds, but at least you're safe. And they were able to sneak into the town by asking a help of a quote-unquote merchant trader pretending to be Katara's husband, Jet. And then they were put into some merchant garb and then they kind of snuck in. They continue on trying to find who that quote-unquote airbender was. And then as mentioned, we find that it was not an airbender. It was just a kid actually in a wheelchair using it to travel around the city. And the machine was built by Donald Glover. So Abed.
I was surprised. I didn't know he was here.
I've seen Abed there. And then they get to start talking, and then this is where things got a little, like, this one was when the story elevates even more. And then they were talking about the good and bad. Who's good, who's bad, who's a traitor, who's not, when they were figuring out that there were a lot of bombings, or they survived the bombing. That's why they got back to to the machinist place. But there's been a lot of bombings because the Fire Nation can't enter, so they have spies, etc., and spy network. And then because of these bombings, we kind of see that there is an emergent rebel group that is made essentially most of kids, trying to do their part in saving they're trying to do their part in toppling the Fire Nation, not necessarily saving most people. So that's one thing. Then during the course of the episode 2, we are kind of alluded to Danny Pudi as a traitor, seemingly providing information to the network of Fire Nation spies. But towards the end, when Aang, and I forget the kid in the wheelchair's name is, but when they started investigating where these spies could be, they went to some caves and they figure out that they are harvesting blast jelly from the mountains, and that's what they use for explosives. So they weren't actually, it wasn't outside forces coming in. They were using the resources in Omashu to create bombs to wreak havoc and kill someone. Then towards the end, there's a cool twist where we realize that these rebels, these charming rebels that
are terrorists.
Katara was actually very, very empathetic to, and then actually joined a little bit because he was saved again. But Katara was saved again by when she was attacked by other Fire Nation people. These rebels were actually the ones that were strategically doing terrorist acts, bombing, both to incite more people to their cause, but also, of course, you were like, they bombed a building that was thought to be a hideout of spies, but they also bombed out people. They also had another plot to use Danny Pudi, when they figured out that he was meeting with the king, to bomb the king and the cohorts and to incite war against Fire Nation, take rise and not just hide. But luckily, Katara finishes that. During the course of the episode 2, Sokka finds out another side to his personality, where he was always been just a guardian, or given the responsibility of guardian of the water of his southern water tribe, but then he realizes that his passion is in engineering as well. So it was nice to be recognized like that as well, but he can't really do his passions because he has responsibilities. In the end, we've realized that the charming rebels were actually the terrorists, and the seemingly traitor was actually
When Sokka and Katara were fighting, who I thought of? Shannon Sharp. Just because two things can be both wrong. they're both right.
They're both wrong. They're both right. But so that's the overall episode 2. Charming rebels, actually terrorists, seemingly the spy, actually working with the king, was kind of the root of the entire thing. There is also a B plot in this episode where the king of Omashu was actually Bimu, who's Aang's friend when he was a kid, right? Mm-hmm. So, but because Aang was trapped for 100 years and Bimu took offense to that, thinking that the Avatar disappeared on them for 100 years, and Bimu for the past 100 years was still alive because of good exercise and good diet and good earth bending, et cetera, et cetera. The 100 years was not kind to him, and he wanted to test a lot Avatar and punish him for not being there.
I'm sorry, but this is the worst episode for me. Bimu is too much, man. The character is just too cartoony. They should have pulled back somewhere. Because the makeup, the prosthetics on the face. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's his real face, right? I don't think that actor.
No.
Okay. No, so I don't want to be insulting him, but yeah, the prosthetics on the face combined with the hair, combined with this laughter and everything, it was too much. And then the armpit hair.
I was gonna say you're 100% correct on Bimu, because one, why don't you just cast an old guy?
Yeah.
Right? I know they wanted
the body, the body as well. Like, right. Everything was too much. If you look at him, it's a different person from the body than the face. The face is all wrinkled up, and the body was like fucking jacked.
White armpit hair. I was like, too bad, because it was a good message, right? It was a good message. I do like the idea to bring somebody from Aang's past. I forgot about that. I think I skipped this arc when watching Avatar, but I forgot about that this was for Aang's past. So this at least seemingly proves somebody, a king, can prove that this is actually the Avatar, because this guy is 100 years old. I knew him when we were kids. We played together when we were kids. So that was like the other thing that I realized, like, they should have just hired an old guy that has, you know,
this character
less physical
is the one,
talent.
This character is the one that really plays well in animated, but when it comes to real life, and this character would thrive in One Piece, but not in the Aang world. You know what I mean? There's a certain vibe. And this guy is too much. And you're right. Yeah. The choreography for his moves, you don't need somebody athletic for that. You know what I mean?
That's what I would say. He's like
dancing,
or you could have toned down the choreography too. Fine.
I'm sure there's a lot of toned up old guys there. It didn't need to be this bulky. So, because I mean, this is the guy in, I'll show you the animated one, so Arnie can see. Because I'm sure he doesn't see. He is buff here, but it's not. It doesn't need to be.
It's a card. They could do whatever they want.
It's too much. And the laugh.
And again, there
and
are
the
plenty
face.
Of old people that can pull this off.
Yeah.
Or just basically give him like a young version of himself. Like, you know, just do RRR. Like type of, you know.
Yeah. And then even the effects were bad. The fight itself, it didn't help that the background was completely CGI. I think, or it looked like that. So even if it's real, it sucked. The cave where they fought, it didn't look real. It looked so bad, which didn't help the fight. I mean, which is a fucking cave.
I just like the armpit hair was too much.
I know, like,
just shave the fucking armpit hair. I knew they were trying to go for something, but that was one of the risks.
They were just trying to be accurate, which.
Yeah, but again, one of the risks that did not pay off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay? Not at all.
That's definitely not $20 million worth of armpit hair.
Again, so there was an assassination plot that was thwarted, and then realized again that the machinist and the king were working together to figure out the network of spies. So they kind of knew what was happening as well. So in the end,
there was also a sea story with Iroh and Zuko trying to rescue him. This is where, I mean, I love if there's a relationship I love in the first four episodes, it's Zuko and Iroh. But there was an issue here. I did have an issue with Iroh's, like, well, maybe it's not that big an issue, but it's like he was trying, when he was talking to that Earth soldier about the siege of Ba Sing Se for 100 days or something, and the shit that Iroh did there, and he was trying to justify it with war. Like, that was a little, I don't know, insensitive of him, or maybe he just really believes that it's a justified war. But, well, I guess he would believe that because he's part of the Fire Nation, but.
Yeah,
it's kind of, I mean, they're the ones that initiated this war, so it's like, you know what I mean?
Some people, like what he mentioned too. So we were bleeding episode 3 and episode 4 into the dark, which is also kind of like the latter half of Omashu, with in terms of we kind of skipped the idea that When Iroh and Zuko using Commander Zhao's contacts to figure out that infiltrate. They found somebody. They seemingly think that they found Aang or an airbender in Omashu. So they infiltrated Omashu. Zuko got into a skirmish that had to show his firebending. Iroh took the blame by distracting the people to him so that Zuko can escape. Iroh was then put to jail along with, Luffy, along with Aang. But Aang spoke to the king because the king knew Aang, and then Iroh had being a Fire Nation bender or firebender, was sent to the pits. He was being driven to the pits by a commander that was punishing him, rightfully so, yeah. Because the Fire Nation has killed his brother and his family. And then, yeah, we get the flashback in terms of loss. Like, that's the good thing, too. Iroh also lost his son with this war. So he understands what loss means. He understands that this is war. And he understands that war is seemingly pointless, but it is the world that they lived in. And he was hoping to do something, a nicer way to go about acquiring power, but he can't. So there was a big skip here. We were like looking at Iroh's wake of his son having died in one war. Mm-hmm. And then we just suddenly skip into Zuko bandaged up, seemingly failing. And then he's being sent to be exiled at the start of his 3-year venture, and then Iroh joins to them. And then the good line is like, "I got my tea," and then I got, you know, home is, you know, where you have your stuff, and you know, he has his tea and he has Zuko, and he has everything he needs. So that's a lot of awesome, very deep morals here about loss and how you deal with loss in terms of how pointless war is. Nobody really wins, but people still seem to do their role in it. And then also you can deal with failure and loss differently. So Iroh wants to make sure that Zuko has a friend, because Zuko mentioned that Iroh's son was the one person that helped him out whenever he is sad or he's defeated. And you know, Zuko seemingly failing at something, he deals with his loss by accepting his punishment. He understands that he's being exiled because finding the Avatar is kind of like a futile gesture, but he still wants the acknowledgement of his dad. Okay? And yeah, and that's kind of like how we end the story. Well, towards the end too, like I skipped the point where Katara and Sokka wanted to save Aang by getting into the castle. They had to go through caves.
This is my other issue.
Another
band. Oh my god, man, that felt so. What the fuck is happening? You loved it.
I loved
it. I was like, what the fuck are we doing? It was
so,
man,
fucking hilarious. Like,
was that Bobby Lee or what? I don't know.
Was it Bobby? I thought it was Bobby Lee.
That was so fucking weird. I don't think so.
Like, that's just like a whole band.
It just felt so weird.
Although, yeah, so I remember seeing a lot of Tiger Belly clips on TikTok about him getting a lot of tweets saying like, "Hey, are you an Avatar? Are you a Bob?" I was like, "No, it's just like it looks so much like him." the idea was they have to go through dangerous and haunted tunnels to get into the castle secretly. They bump into this group of hippies singing, and I love it. It's like, why are you here? It's like acoustics. It's like, the tunnels isn't that haunted, and it's not like, oh, these aren't the tunnels. That's the tunnels. We'll never go in there. And then the tunnel, another perfect way of saying it, Chewbacca, is like, both can be wrong and both can be right. Right. So they were given this hieroglyph of how to get through the tunnels and how an old earth bending person, like their leader, met with their lover, right? They are from two different tribes. They use the tunnel networks to meet each other, and it's because of their love. They learned the first airbender learned it from this honey badger of some sort or mole badger that they've seen, and then they have these lures about following the stars. Light is brightest in the dark, etc., etc. So both Sokka and Katara interpreted the lore slightly differently with each other, but in the end, they realized that the people who go through the tunnels that always gets lost is because the tunnels are ever changing, right? So even that's why there's no maps, there's no anything, and then the actual thing that led them was feelings. So and then those feelings was kind of like culminated through a mole badger who's blind, who navigates through their things, and then the mole badger was technically the one that would be leading them to wherever that they need to be. So, and that's where we, you know, again, we end up with Aang while he was fighting with Bimu, helped by his friends, because Bimu's kind of like philosophy then is like, never trust anyone, not even your friends. No one can help you. You can only help yourself. And then we see Aang still being helped by his friends. So that's where we end episode four, as we kind of like clear everything in Omashu and whatnot. So thoughts, final thoughts and ratings, Arnie, hit me.
Well, like I said, yeah, there's some pacing issues. So that's when I was doing my accounting and bills. but when it got good, it was good. You know, the main Aang character, I mean, he's adorable. You know, he's likable and all that stuff. Yeah, Sokka, I was pleasantly surprised because I thought, this is the guy who's not the best actor. But actually, he's getting better. So maybe the pilot, he was still learning the character. So when he got into the groove, he started getting it. And of course, Suki, wow. And then Katara, actually, yeah, she's also... the acting also, maybe when she needs to be more of the serious actor, you know, it's a little bit flat, but I think she'll get there once she gets more into the groove of the character as well. Uncle Iroh is my favorite character right now, because he's always like hungry, wants to learn about other nations, teaching Zuko. Like, I haven't seen the entire series, so I think maybe there's a heel turn. Maybe Zuko will be a good guy eventually because of Uncle Iroh. So I'm thinking. So Jong, I don't know if you want to spoil that for me, but yeah, Uncle Iroh. I think. I just question though, Jong. So there's, because I've seen on TikTok or reels that one of the saddest scenes in this show is the mourning on Uncle Iroh's son. Because apparently it's the original voice actor's last episode, because I think he was dying in real life.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I also heard that Mr. Kim or Carson Teva refused to sing the song because out of respect for the original voice
actors. I didn't hear that too, but that makes sense. That makes sense.
So I think that was like the flashback on the morning of the sun, right? So like I said, I like the show so far in the first half. So maybe towards the back end, or maybe in season two, it will get their groove and be more polished eventually, right? So yeah, that's what I think.
Record,
score.
What's his score?
Oh, my score. Oh, yeah, I would say a solid 9.
Yeah. I'll go so that Chewbacca can round it up. I'm rating this as a low 8, right? It is entertaining. It is fun. I like the CGI. The acting is rough for because there's no standout actor, and because it's an ensemble, you can't have like one or two people carry the acting load. You need everybody to be hitting on all cylinders, and then that's the thing. It's like sometimes I like Katara, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I like Sokka, sometimes I don't. So it gets a little difficult to have like consistent, like, oh, these are good narratives that they're throwing out. I love the A story, the B story in every episode. It's fun. I like that they try to put in some action in every episode. Doesn't work, but at least the elements are there. So I'm actually confident that, and I haven't seen the last three episodes, but I'm confident that if not the latter half of this season, definitely the next season, it'll be continuously getting better because the good elements are there. You have a story that has some layers, you hit both stories and you try to put action in them, and that's it. I am not as disappointed as other people because I'm not the biggest Avatar fan. Like, I haven't seen Avatar that recently or in depth. When I saw it was in the background. Same with Korra. It's like super in the background. I know the general story, but it's whatever story it is. Of course, the Avatar goes through some lumps. You're gonna get this power thing in the same world, et cetera. We kind of get to know that. So I like the new ones that they're doing right now. I actually think that the episodes are a little bit too long. I think this, if maybe we can keep it under 40 each, because like sometimes the episodes dragged a little bit, but all in all, it's fun and it looks good. And I really don't understand the hate that I've been seeing. But I've also seen a lot of reviewers saying like, "Hey, don't listen to all those reviews. It's just clickbaity. It's not that bad." So I'm giving it an A. Shabaks, take us home.
I will go with the 7. Pretty good. Enjoy, but a hopeful 7. Maybe a high 7. Yeah, it's just more on the editing for me. The acting, I'll let go. As you said, they're most of them are kids. And the CGI is good, but some ugly shots somewhere sometimes. But excited, I'm excited to finish it, and excited to watch it again because my kids are gonna watch it, and they're not here, so I have to watch it again with them. But yeah,
All
excited
right.
for finishing it.
Those are our thoughts for the first half, like first four episodes of the season one of Avatar: The Last Airbender on Netflix, the live action version. Join us next week as we discuss the latter half and then the entire season. If you haven't seen it, watch it, join us. Subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can watch this episode and comment on our videos about what you guys think about the series. It's youtube.com/plus63hp. We're also on all socials, Instagram, X, Facebook, at plus63hp. Listen to us if you don't want to watch this video on demand. We're on all the major podcasting apps, Apple, Spotify, Amazon. But join us too. We re record on weekends, mornings, 9:30 Eastern, 9:30 to around 12 noon Eastern, and like 10:30 around to 1 evening of Philippine time on twitch.tv/plus63hp. So you guys can see how the sausage is made. With that, on behalf of Trebox, on behalf of Arnie, thank you very much for watching, and we'll see you in the next video.
Bye.